This is NBC Nightly News, Tuesday, January 8th. Reported by John Chancellor with David Brinkley's Journal.
Good evening. Late today, the White House issued two white papers giving the president's side in the controversies involving contributions from dairymen and from the International Telephone and Telegraph Corporation. Those cases have been known as the Milk Fund, in which charges have been made that contributions from the dairymen resulted in an increase in the support price for dairy products, and the ITT case, in which charges have been made that the administration gave ITT preferential treatment in an antitrust matter in return for pledges of large contributions. The White House white papers say these charges are utterly false. Tom Brokaw has some details.
No supporting documents or tapes were released with the White House papers. White House officials said that material has been turned over to a special prosecutor's office. The White House does not want to interfere with court proceedings. However, in the papers released today, the White House refers to allegations that the presidential decisions were made in the Milk and ITT case in return for campaign contributions or the promise of contributions. And those allegations are called utterly false. As for the ITT matter, the White House papers claim the president's only involvement came in April 1971, a reference to the president's telephone call to then-Attorney General Kleindienst. According to Kleindienst, the president ordered him not to appeal the ITT settlement. Later, the president explained he issued that order, which was later withdrawn, because he didn't want ITT punished just because it is a large corporation. However, in testimony before the Senate Watergate Committee, a memorandum from former White House aide Charles Colson seems to suggest other presidential involvement. The Colson memo refers to an earlier meeting between the president and former Attorney General John Mitchell in which they discussed, quote, the agreed upon ends of the ITT case. In the Milk case, the White House papers today acknowledged that the decision to increase price supports was done in part for political consideration. But they deny that it was in exchange for political contributions. The papers cite intense congressional pressure, including pressure from prominent Democrats, and the economic merits of the case for that decision. The White House papers say it is unknown whether the milk producers promised $2 million for the president's 1972 campaign, even though there is a letter in circulation reportedly from a former associate of the president, active in the Milk Producers Association. That letter does mention the availability of $2 million from the milk producers. This apparently is the last public disclosure by the White House and President Nixon on Watergate matters. As a presidential spokesman put it late this afternoon, enough is enough. The president will not spend 1974 commenting on Watergate matters. Tom Brokaw, NBC News, with the president in California.
The two white papers, one of them 17 pages long, were released just before this program went on the air. Tomorrow we'll have more details of the president's arguments in his defense. Some unhappy economic news today. Wholesale prices last month went up 2.2%, which is the sharpest monthly increase in more than a quarter of a century since 1946. Food prices at wholesale were part of that increase, going up 1.4%. Food was one big reason for the increase. The other reason was the sharp increase in energy costs. Fuel prices went up 12.3%. Here's more on the story from Irving R. Levine.
The big jump in petroleum prices was the principal cause of the increase in the latest wholesale price index. Prices for petroleum products, including gasoline, climbed 19.5% last month, and for all of 1973, up 125%. Home heating oil prices were up more than 27% in December and 186% for the year. Many wholesale food prices continue to climb, and this will soon affect supermarket prices. But meat, poultry, and fish were down slightly in December. For the year, though, they were up 21%. Cereal and bakery products climbed 2.5% last month and 33% last year. Vegetable oils, which go into many processed foods, zoomed 41% in December and 134% in 1973. Wholesale clothing prices up slightly last month and up 5% for the entire year. All the things that people buy that are measured by the wholesale price index, some 2,600 items, went up more than 18% last year. Economists predict more big price increases in 1974. For one thing, the doubling of foreign oil prices will soon be felt here. For another, many administration officials are convinced that price controls hurt the economy more than they've helped, and they want to remove almost all price controls in the next few months. So, 1974 could see wholesale price increases almost as big as the 18% last year. Irving R. Levine, NBC News, Washington.
Budget Director Roy Ashe told the UPI today that President Nixon will propose a $300 billion budget for next year. And Ashe added that the new budget will provide for a deficit of as much as $10 billion. Also on the program tonight, we'll hear Vice President Ford talking about the consequences of Arab oil policies. We'll cover the opening of the trial of two of the Wounded Knee Indian militants. And we'll have some opinions on whether all the fuss about the comet Kaotek was worthwhile.
NBC Nightly News is brought to you by Anacin, the tablets that help relieve minor arthritis pain and arthritis stiffness.
There's not much difference in pain relievers that you can see, but in your bloodstream, the differences are very real. While all three leading pain relievers reach an effective level in minutes, in the final analysis, only one of them hits and holds the highest level, Anacin. This difference is the extra pain reliever Anacin provides when you have a headache. Remember, the difference in Anacin is the higher level of pain reliever. Anacin relieves pain fast.
It took 700 USI Hamilton lamps and Prescalite fixtures to light this runway. They were gathered to make one point, that no matter what lighting you need, we probably make it. They look good and are well made. If they weren't, we wouldn't put our USI name on them or any of our products. When we say USI makes a world of difference, this is what we mean.
The Iranian finance minister, Jamshid Amusgar, said today in Geneva that the oil exporting countries are willing to keep prices down if the oil importers will keep their profits down. In that connection, Amusgar noted that the increased strength of the American dollar abroad probably will result in a 6% drop in the cost to oil companies of foreign oil. At San Clemente, the White House said President Nixon is considering a Washington conference of oil-producing and consuming countries. The aim would be to develop a common policy on oil production and pricing. And in Washington, Vice President Ford warned of what might happen if the Arabs keep their oil policies of embargo and production cuts.
North America, Africa, and the Middle East have some of the greatest food deficits in the entire world. The United States is the world's most efficient producer of soybeans, wheat, and other grains. So we and other nations help to feed the people of that area of the globe. So the process involves a circular flow that requires the cooperation of all things to keep things moving. But it can be easily halted. Close an oil valve in the Middle East, and you threaten to shut down a farm tractor in our Middle West. Halt that tractor, and some people in the world will hunger for bread.
Talk about retaliation against the Arab oil countries today brought a renewed threat by Saudi Arabia to blow up its own oil fields in the event of military intervention. And the Damascus State Radio said that all the Arab countries are prepared to follow suit if any military action is taken. In Denver today, eight oil companies bid more than $840 million for the right to try to squeeze oil out of rocks on a 5,000-acre tract in western Colorado. Rebecca Bell has the story.
In the western United States, Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming, there are vast untapped oil reserves locked in shale rock formations. It's estimated more than 600 billion barrels of oil could be squeezed from this rock, enough to make Mideast oil seem like a trickle. So far, oil shale development has been limited to small experimental projects like this one run by the Interior Department. Until Arab oil prices quadrupled this year, development of shale oil was just too expensive a process to attract investors. Rocks containing shale oil must be mined and heated. The heat releases the oil, which can be refined into gasoline and other petroleum products. About 80% of the shale oil land is owned by the federal government. In an experimental program, the government today auctioned off development rights for a 5,000-acre tract in northwestern Colorado. The bidding was surprisingly high. $34,000.
The total amount of the bid, $175,001,190.98.
The top bid was more than $210 million, made jointly by Standard of Indiana and Gulf Oil. 4 years ago, the government tried to auction off a similar tract of land, and bids, including one for $600, were so low that all bids were rejected. Officials think today's prices mean that the oil companies are seriously interested now in developing oil shale. There are tremendous environmental problems yet to be solved, and it may be 1980 before oil from shale is in commercial production. But by the year 2000, these rocks could provide enough oil to help make this country self-sufficient. Rebecca Bell, NBC News, Denver.
Extracting oil from shale rocks is a big undertaking. One congressional expert says that to get millions of barrels of oil a day from shale, each day's digging would have to equal that of the earth moved to dig the Panama Canal. The American dollar soared in value today on money markets in Europe to its highest point since it was devalued 11 months ago. The value of gold is going up as well, and at one point today on the London market, gold reached an all-time high of $130 an ounce. There was heavy trading on the American stock markets, but in the other direction. The Dow Jones Index dropped 15 points. On the New York Exchange, the average price of a share lost 66 cents. On the American, the drop was 2 cents.
For years, I've been telling you what a really nutritious and great-tasting breakfast cereal Product 19 is. Well, now there's a new Product 19. New because it has more nutrition. So much more that it's now classified as a multivitamin and iron supplement cereal with 100% of the U.S. recommended daily allowances for 10 vitamins and iron. All that nutrition in great-tasting flakes. Enjoy the multivitamin and iron supplement cereal. Kellogg's new Product 19.
Mazda proudly presents the first luxury cars with rotary engine performance and economy. The RX4 hardtop, sedan, and wagon. The RX4 is more Mazda than you've ever seen before. Beautifully styled with luxurious interiors. And the overall performance, economy, and sensible size that you'd like in a luxury car. The Mazda RX4 hardtop, sedan, and wagon. The first luxury cars with rotary engine performance and economy.
Sweden today became the first Western European country to ration gasoline. Drivers are limited to 26 gallons for the next 52 days. Government officials say that will allow a motorist to drive an average of about 8 miles a day. In this country, New York City has been one of the areas hardest hit by the gasoline shortage. Long lines of cars waiting for gas are commonplace. With the shortage have come abuses. Today, New York City imposed emergency measures aimed at stopping price gouging and preferential treatment for customers willing to pay for it. Robert Hager reports.
Today I'm announcing two...
At a news conference, city officials said gas stations would have to stop giving preferential treatment to regular customers. Anyone who drives up to the pumps must be treated equally, and clear signs must be posted if there is no gas or if sales are limited. Until now, gas stations did pretty much what they pleased. There was a no gas sign at this station in Queens today, but gas was being pumped. The attendant said he was selling up to $3 worth of gas to anyone. But the customer being served here got more than $7 worth. Another station had a no gas sign, But one car was sitting by the pumps, the driver obviously expecting to get gas. When the station manager saw us filming, the no gas sign came down. A few stations, such as this one in the Bronx, openly advertise the fact that they are limiting sales to regular customers. It's practices like this the city wants to stop, but the new regulations may run into legal problems. Agents of New York City's Department of Consumer Affairs plan to test the enforceability of their new regulations almost immediately. They'll head out Thursday morning to begin issuing citations to service stations in violation, with threatened fines of up to $350 for each offense. Robert Hager, NBC News, New York.
The Association of Trial Lawyers warned today that motorists who carry gasoline cans in their cars could be held liable for accidents that result in fires or explosions. The same would hold true for drivers who have their cars equipped with auxiliary gas tanks. Early today in Los Angeles, four gasoline tank trucks were involved in a spectacular accident on the Golden State Freeway. A series of explosions touched off a fire that burned for several hours. Here's a report from Jim Brown.
The wreckage began when the driver of a semi-truck lost control on the rain-soaked freeway and overturned. Within seconds, a chain reaction took place. Another semi-truck jackknifed. Then an Arco gas tanker skidded and jackknifed. Next, a Mobile gas truck trailer jackknifed. Moments later, a Union gas tanker jackknifed and overturned. And finally, another Arco gas truck trailer tried to avoid a passenger car, skidded, overturned, its thousands of gallons of gasoline igniting and setting the two other tankers on fire. The driver of this last truck, trapped in the cab, burned to death. Incredibly, there was only one other minor injury. When dawn came, both inbound and outbound lanes of this normally bumper-to-bumper freeway were closed, and traffic was diverted onto side streets. Inbound lanes finally were opened at the end of the rush hour, and crews worked all day to repair the outbound roadway in time for evening traffic. Jim Brown, NBC News, Los Angeles.
A severe winter storm continued to pound Southern California today, but there was more rain in Los Angeles and additional snow in the surrounding mountains. The snow has stranded hundreds of tourists and campers since last Friday. Today, workers began rescuing some of them. The weather may clear tomorrow, but another storm is forecast for the weekend. The weather also affected President Nixon. He went for a drive in heavy rain, but was forced to turn back when a landslide blocked the road.
They say the Arizona sun is good for arthritis. So when we made Deep Heating Rub for minor arthritic pains, we made it warming like sunshine. To soak deep into the skin with a thermal glow, it won't cure arthritis, but the hours of relief it brings can help you through the day or night. Deep Heating Rub or Extra Spring Lotion. A little sunshine in a bottle. From Mentholatum, we make it our business to comfort you.
Over here, Fred. What's cooking?
Heartburn, Tilda, on the front burner.
Didn't anyone ever tell you not to eat and run? Here, try these.
Phillips tablets? What about...
Phillips tablets. See, they're concentrated, smaller, and stronger because they neutralize 25% more acid than the leading candy roll tablet.
25% stronger?
Fast-acting, too. Get them right next door. Tell them Tilda the Teller told you to get Phillips.
5% stronger.
The Supreme Court ruled 6-3 today that prosecutors may use illegally gathered evidence in grand jury presentations. The court said criminal suspects may not prevent the use of unlawfully gathered evidence, nor can suspects refuse to answer questions based on illegal evidence. This is the second such ruling by the court this session. The first permits police to use any evidence turned up in a search connected with any lawful arrest, including a traffic violation. The dissenting Supreme Court justices in both cases said the decisions threaten the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, which forbids unlawful search and seizure. In St. Paul, Minnesota today, jury selection began in the trial of leaders of the American Indian Movement who occupied Wounded Knee, South Dakota. Fred Briggs, who covered the story at Wounded Knee, covered the story today.
This was Wounded Knee 10 months ago during the 71-day occupation by members of AIM, the American Indian Movement. To some, it was a desperate attempt to call attention to Indian problems on the reservation. To others, it was guerrilla theater of the absurd. To the Justice Department, it was out-and-out law-breaking, and more than 100 members of AIM were charged with various federal offenses, including burglary, arson, assaulting federal officers, and conspiracy. Last night at the University of Minnesota, AIM had a pep rally, a rally designed to whip up support for the two top leaders of AIM, Russell Means and Dennis Banks. They are being tried in St. Paul because a federal judge doubts an impartial jury can be found in South Dakota. The trial began this morning, and demonstrators and supporters waited in temperatures of 9 below 0 to get inside. Actually, there wasn't much happening inside. The process of jury selection has just begun, and it promises to be lengthy. Defense lawyers, including William Kunstler and Mark Lane, want the 1868 treaty between the government and the Sioux Indians included as evidence, a treaty the government has violated many times. The Justice Department, quite understandably, doesn't want the treaty included. If it were, and if it were upheld, the Sioux would own almost half of South Dakota. U.S. District Judge Fred Nickel has already turned down one government motion to rule out any mention of the old treaty, but he has yet to make a final ruling on its admissibility.
It's going to be a long trial, whatever happens. Just picking a jury may take more than 2 weeks. And by the judge's own estimate, the trial could run 3 to 4 months. Fred Briggs, NBC News in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Professor Charles Allen Wright, the constitutional expert from the University of Texas, will resume an active role in President Nixon's efforts to keep his tape recordings from the Senate Watergate Committee. That word today from San Clemente. Also from the presidential compound at San Clemente, officials were telling reporters that the president will soon emerge from a period of introspective seclusion with a new effort to counter the effects of Watergate. The new campaign, they say, will involve a reorganization of the White House, an effort to give more visibility to cabinet members, emphasis on foreign affairs, and more responsibility for the vice president. David Brinkley's journal tonight deals with the presidency. David?
The question is often asked, when all the Washington scandals have been settled somehow, the indicted have been tried, and whoever is going to jail has gone to jail, what happens? What'll be done to prevent it all from happening again? Well, the question can't be answered yet, but the Irvin Committee, after a summer of hearings and television stardom, says now it might recommend some substantial changes. One would be a one-term limit for future presidents. That would require amending the Constitution, and it would mean that no president would ever run for re-election. Well, there are good and bad points to this, subject to some debate, but one good point is that the country would be spared the spectacle of the president's agents out hustling money and even using the power of the White House to extort money from those unwilling to give it but afraid not to, and spared the spectacle of the President of the United States being huckstered in the commercial style of detergents, toothpaste, and remedies for sour stomach. Another change the Irvin Committee says it might recommend is a radical new way to finance campaigns. They don't give details, but it would severely reduce the amount of private money that could be given even by those willing to give it. Either of these changes, one term for the president, a new way to finance campaigns, would be hard to bring about. But a fair number of the American people already think Washington is capable of little more than wasting money, inflating the economy, starting wars, and scandals. If some kind of changes are not made now, they will be further persuaded they are right. John?
The State Department said today it is studying the possibility of talks with Cuba, talks that could lead to a renewal of diplomatic relations. This followed a statement by Cuba's ambassador to Mexico, who said his government is ready to start talking about diplomatic relations if the United States stops its economic blockade of Cuba.
Should we go ahead? What is J.B. going to think?
Oh, let's not move too fast on this. Maybe we should appoint a committee.
good idea.
Let's meet next week and discuss it.
There's the kind of timid, indecisive management American industry can't afford. At United States Steel, we know the importance of making major commitments. America faces stiff competition from countries whose productivity is rising faster than our own. In order to increase our productivity, we'll need intelligent, far-reaching decisions from all levels of management. For U.S. Steel, the decision to build this huge electric furnace at our Fairless Works had to be made years in advance, with many millions of dollars at stake. Today, this furnace helps us make better use of our resources. And that's one example of what productivity is all about. At United States Steel, we're involved.
And finally tonight, thanks to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena and to our man Roy Neal, we're going to have a look at the comet Kaotek, which has been advertised as an early January feature of the early evening sky. A lot of people haven't had much luck in sighting it, and here it is on your screens.
That's Venus, lower right, Jupiter, upper left, forming a triangle with the comet Kohotek in the evening sky last night. These pictures were shot with special equipment from a jet flying at 39,000 feet along the Pacific coast, used by NASA's Ames Research Center to give scientists a clear view of the comet. It was not spectacular, but it was clearly visible, with a tail that stretched behind for millions of miles. This flight was part of a major effort to investigate Kohotek, a comet that's been disappointing because it failed to live up to advanced billings. But scientists say its performance has not been a total washout.
Comets are like people, they're individuals. And never having seen this comet before, no one was quite sure how bright it would be. As it's happened, it's turned out to be the kind of comet that we see about once every 5 years instead of being the comet of the century. But it's still a very important object because having been discovered some 9 months before its closest approach to the sun, all scientists have been able to coordinate their research. And this means that scientifically, it may indeed turn out to be the comet of the century.
For the next few days, the comet should be visible just after dark in the southwestern sky, if the sky is clear and there isn't too much city light. Roy Neal, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Although it must be admitted, it's a lot easier to see the comet if you're up in a jet at 39,000 feet. Good night for NBC News.